From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. The market crash made retirement a hot-button issue, and for people, not just for people who are over 60. There's a new study by the National Institute on Retirement Security that found that people under 40 are more anxious than ever about their retirement. You need to go no further than our Twitter feed, KUOW Convo. When we asked people under 40 if they were thinking about retirement, Chris wrote, "I'm 33, nihilistically planning not to have a social safety net, will never retire, work less as I get older, hope for extended family support." Is it that bad? Or can you actually do something about your retirement if you're under 40? Stay tuned. Maybe you share some of Chris's anxiety. We're at 206-543-5869. Does it seem like an impossible dream for you? That's 206-543-KUOW. What pressing financial questions do you have about what the state of retirement will be when you're ready to stop working? 800-289-5869. Or maybe you'd just like to get some advice on how to get started or some advice on how you're doing if you've already started some plans. You can write to us, conversation@kuow.org. Diane Oakley is the executive director of the National Institute on Retirement Security. It's a nonprofit research and education organization. She studies trends and the current challenges in retirement planning. Diane, thanks for your time.
Happy to be with you this afternoon.
So you did that report showing that people under 40 are more anxious about retirement than ever before. Should they be?
You know, I think they should be. We asked Americans, how do they feel about the recent economic downturn and how risky does that tell you about your retirement? And what we had is 96% of millennials, these are the people, just entering the workforce, born after 1967, said that this was true for them, and many of them very strongly. Interestingly enough, they seem to be getting some hints about how risky retirement is when they look at their boomer parents. And we asked them also a question, does the fact that fewer and fewer boomers don't have a traditional pension, does that mean that there's more stress in families and in the economy overall? And 94% agreed with that factor as well. So we're seeing a lot of stress. I just saw it the other day. I was talking to a young salesperson in the Apple store, and he volunteered that he was concerned about his mom because his mom only had Social Security, and all she had was $25,000 in a 401k plan, and she had co-signed for a lot of his student loans that he had about $50,000.
Wow.
So it really is a tough situation for a lot of these millennials.
Well, and it's not going to get easier, right? As I look at the demographics, there are fewer people today in the workforce compared to those who are retired, and that is only going to accelerate, which is going to have implications for young people 20 or 30 years down the road.
That will have some implications more on the social insurance sector that we have, the Social Security. And, in fact, these millennials are going to get already in the tax law or the pension law a benefit for Social Security that's probably about 18% less than what their baby boomer parents would be getting. So that's one piece that's already in there. What we also heard from young workers, three-quarters of them told us that their salaries not being able to keep up with inflation is making it harder and harder for them to save. And I think they realize that their own savings is going to be something they're going to have to rely upon as opposed to having more of a traditional pension.
Diane Oakley, thanks for the big picture.
You're welcome.
Diane Oakley, Executive Director of the National Institute on Retirement Security. They came out with that study which shows widespread concern by people under 40 about their retirement. Maybe you share those concerns. Well, we have some help for you. Minty Crary is with me. She's a certified financial planner. She's one of Forbes MoneyWise Women. They're a network of professional experts educating women to live financially and healthy. And Minty also owns Creative Money. It's a financial coaching service. Minty, thank you so much for stopping by.
Oh, my pleasure.
We're at 206-543-5869. If you've got some questions for Minty about what you should be doing, maybe what you shouldn't be doing, it's 800-289-5869. You can write to us, conversation@kuow.org. We got a question right off the bat for you, Minty. Guy wrote to us, "I'm in college right now, and retirement seems like a long way off to me. I have about $3 to my name, and money that I do make is quickly spent. What is Guy to do?"
Well, I do run into younger and younger people coming to financial coaching and looking for financial advice. And what I always recommend is, even though it is a priority to save for retirement, if you're still in college, you should be prioritizing that experience. There is enough time to graduate from college and get started in your career, and then start to prioritize retirement planning among all of the other different financial goals you might have, with getting married and having children and getting a home. But I don't think anybody needs to be so anxious as to start it
in college.
In college, yes.
Yeah. When do you think this might vary depending on how much money one makes, because you can, of course, save a lot more quickly if you're making more money. But when should you be looking at starting to retire?
Starting to save for retirement?
Yes.
I think absolutely with your first job out of college, as soon as you possibly can, as long as your employer is providing a retirement plan, then take advantage of that. But if they don't provide a retirement plan, there's plenty of self-directed opportunities to get started. And even if you aren't making as much money as you're eventually going to make in your career in your 30s and 40s, it still makes sense to put away something to at least start that saving habit.
Now, a lot of employers do offer some kind of a retirement program, but if you're just out of college or taking your first job, you might not know what that means and what it means for you. What kind of programs might first-time employees see, and what should they do about them?
Well, a lot of employers will have 401k plans, and nonprofit employers will have 403b plans.
What's that mean? What are those things?
You know, those are IRS tax codes when those plans first came out, and it really talks about the tax treatment of the plan. And so when you save in one of these plans, you're lowering your current tax bill by however much you save into it. And so that's one thing that's doing for you, is it's giving you some tax savings by saving into that directly. But the other thing that might be doing for you is that if your employer provides a match, you're getting free money. You wouldn't have gotten that money had you not been saving into those retirement plans.
So should you max that out? Should you try to get all of that match from your employer if you possibly can afford it?
Yeah, I think if people can afford it, they should try to get as much free money as possible.
Mm-hmm. Now, everybody doesn't have that kind of a job. Some people are more in the freelance category. For example, Aaron wrote to us, "I'm a sole proprietor of a business. I'm 29. I have a Roth IRA, which is one retirement plan you can do on your own." She asks, what should I be doing? What else should I be doing?
Well, the first thing I look at with self-employed people is, what is their ability to fund retirement? Because a lot of times people start to get anxious about retirement planning right in the middle of startup. And so a lot of times, maybe a simple Roth IRA or a regular traditional IRA where you're funding at $5,500 a year for 2013, that might just be fine for the first part of it. But then as you're business grows bigger and you have the ability to save more in later years, then you can look at a customized self-employed retirement plan, which can be either a SEP IRA, a solo 401k. It can get very confusing very fast. So I always encourage people to keep it simple for as long as possible. And then when you need to save more and start looking at that and have the ability to do that, then you can start to get fancier with the self-employed options.
You know, Diane was talking about all the panic they found in their survey. Do you have to talk people off the ceiling when they come to talk to you, or are they already kind of looking ahead and trying to figure out what to do?
You know, I find people under 40 to be incredibly level-headed about this. And, you know, one thing I see is that nobody is planning on Social Security. And I actually have to encourage them to say, yes, like she was saying, I think that she said that the benefit will be 18% of what their baby boomer parents' benefit is right now when this generation's ready to retire. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they never get to retire. And especially I see this generation really accepting responsibility for saving for that. And that might just be a reflection of the people who end up coming to me for coaching. But on the other side of that, I see resolve more than I see absolute panic.
So you think that 18% figure is a good one to calculate in? It's not as though there'll be no Social Security, but it'll only be less than a fifth of what it is now?
I think that's a great rule of thumb or point of reference for people. And a lot of times, honestly, if somebody's 30 years away from retirement and they're just looking for a ballpark to know the trending of how much they should be saving, you know, if you look at Social Security and then taxes, those two might cancel each out a little bit anyway. So sometimes I don't even count on that if somebody's 30 years away from retirement, and that makes them feel better and also feel more in control of what they do need to save.
How do you psychologically make the decision that it's time to squirrel away those nuts and not be like the grasshopper and play all through the summer?
Well, I think that no matter what, you should always be saving something. And so a lot of times I have the pleasure of working with a lot of people who are natural savers anyway. But when I don't run across that, for me, the very first thing that people need to do is really translate into today's actions. And if they're not making room in their budget right now to save, that's something they need to start working toward. Because at some level, even if it's not saving for retirement, maybe that's taken care of through your employer, you still should be saving something either towards your cash reserves or towards midterm goals that you might have.
We're at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. We're doing this program specifically for those of you under 40 that maybe are just at the beginning of thinking about retirement or maybe haven't even thought about it yet. Maybe you've got some questions about it or you'd like to share your experiences with it. It's toll-free, 800-289-5869. You can write to us, conversation@kuow.org. Christy writes to us, I make the measly annual contributions I'm allowed to make to my IRA. I'm not covered under my company plan. My question is, how do I get some kind of return on my cash safety net fund?
You know, that's so interesting because the Fed has said that they're going to hold rates down until unemployment gets better or unemployment rate drops. And so that means that at any regular savings account at your bank, you're probably only getting 0.1%. And so what I encourage people to do is to look for, and you can Google this, high yield online savings accounts. ING Orange was one of the first ones ever to establish an online FDIC insured bank account for you. And right now, I think you can earn like 0.7%. So it's not extraordinary.
But it's a whole lot more than it is otherwise.
It definitely is. Yeah. So I always encourage you to go do that because it's FDIC insured exactly like your local bank, but you will be earning a little bit better return on your cash reserves.
Christy also has this very specific question. Are REITs a good idea for a retirement portfolio? Now, that's a real estate investment trust.
Right. That's a real estate investment trust. And essentially, fundamentally, it functions like a mutual fund. However, I don't think most people need to get that fancy when they're starting out with their retirement savings. I think regular mutual funds are just fine. And a real estate investment trust is, I believe, an option for maybe a more sophisticated investor after you've been saving, for at least 10 years or so. I don't have a real estate investment trust, and I've been saving for 20 years. So
now I've found Quicken, the program for personal finance, very useful. It's got a whole financial planner. And instead of trying to keep all these things in your head, you can actually do some projections. Here's what I'd like to have in retirement, et cetera. Do you recommend that, or are there other tools that people can use to kind of get themselves started to begin to make a plan?
Well, Quicken is good. My favorite online tool is Mint, mint.com. And I primarily recommend it for people tracking their spending, but it also does have goal setting tools and retirement projection tools on it as well.
Free too, right?
Yeah, it does.
I think it's owned by Quicken, but it's a free
tool. It is.
Tool.
They were purchased by Quicken about 2 years ago.
Yeah. You can have it on your iPhone.
You can. There's all kinds of iPad apps and Android apps and everything else. And so it's incredibly convenient. What I run into a lot, and maybe this is just the people who are coming to me, is that they're not quite sure what they're getting when they run that tool. Mm-hmm. You know, what are the implications of inflation, and what's the implication of the rate of return, and you know, how much will I need in future dollars? And so there's a lot of things that the calculator will automatically give you, but then you're not sure how to interpret it. So that's only one thing that I run into a lot of times when people are trying to kind of self-direct retirement. But they can be very interesting, powerful tools for people.
When you think about retirement, you think about these vast sums of money you're going to need 30 years in the future, and it can all get kind of overwhelming. Maybe it could explain for someone who's not sure if they want to get started early, the miracle of compounding interest.
The miracle of compounding interest. So one anecdote that was taught to me early on is that if an 18-year-old saves $2,000 a year into an IRA and only saved from age 18 to age 30, they would never have to save again. And by age 65, they would have $1 million. So that's pretty powerful, because then the alternative, and I don't remember the exact numbers for the alternative, is, okay, start saving at age 30. So the same person saving at age 30 to age 65 can save double or triple that amount and still not get to the $1 million mark. So the whole principle behind compound savings or compound interest is the sooner you can save, the less you will have to put away to achieve the same kind of results as somebody who saves later.
even though those returns are minuscule now, presumably they'll go up at some point down the line and that compounding interest will grow and grow.
Exactly, exactly.
Hey, this has been terrific. Mindy, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm glad to be here.
Mindy Crary is a certified financial planner. She's one of Forbes' Money Wise Women. They're professional experts who are teaching women in particular on how to live financially. She also owns Creative Money, which is a financial coaching service. From KUOW, I'm Ross Reynolds.